a cliff that overlooked frothy, white-capped waves. My knees shook as the sun crested on the horizon, turning the waves from blue to pink, and then my legs gave out. Knees cracked off the hard soil, and I fell back, landing on my butt. Too exhausted, too shell-shocked, too everything. I didn't move. Couldn't. My eyes stung. They were so dry, yet so full of tears burning straight through the sockets. Slowly, I lifted my gaze to the deep blue sky. Apollo had lied to me. He'd lied to me this entire time. He tried to explain himself to me in those blurry moments after he'd told me my mom was, that she was dead. He'd claimed that the lie had been necessary, for my own good. He'd said that I'd been under a lot of stress, that I needed to keep it together so I would be safe. He even said that when he'd looked at me in the dorm room for the first time as my father, he couldn't bear to see me hurting more than I already was. He promised me that she was in paradise. These were the words that felt like my skin was being tattooed with. None of those words made up for the lie, because this whole time, for months, I'd been living as if my mother was alive and safe. I believed I would see her again, and I would hug her. I would get to tell her that I now believed those stories she'd used to tell me, the ones that I'd attributed to her sickness. Now I wouldn't. Squeezing my eyes shut, I pressed my lips together as another roar of rage, another scream of pain built in my chest. I was here, and my mom, she was gone. She'd been gone for a long time now, and I had no idea. I went on with my life, and hers had ended. How hadn't I known? How could that even be possible? Shifting forward, I planted my hands in the soil as my chest ripped open once more. The pain was so potent, it was tangible, a bitter coating in my mouth and throat. Everyone was gone now. My grandparents, Aaron, my roommate, who also happened to be a Fury, Solos, my mother, Seth. A tremble rattled my arms as my fingers dug into the soil, scratching up nothing but dust. He should be here. The moment those words entered my thoughts, I couldn't push them away or forge them. Seth should be here for this, for me, because I needed him. I needed him at this moment more than I ever had. Josie? Inhaling sharply, I opened my eyes at the sound of Alex's voice. I didn't look or speak, and after a few moments, I felt her draw close. Alex sat beside me, drawing her knees to her chest. I'm not going to ask if you're okay. I know you're not. Lowering my chin, I lifted a shaky hand and pushed a few loose strands back from my face. I opened my mouth, but I couldn't find any words. Silence stretched between us, and then Alex said, I had to kill my mom. That got my attention. My head swung sharply in her direction. She was staring out over the ocean, her pretty face pensive. Maybe I'd heard the story before. In that moment, I couldn't remember if Deacon had told me. Why? I managed to croak out. Smoothing back her deep brown hair, she rested her chin on her knees. My mom had pulled me out of the Covenant when she learned that I was to be the Apollyon. We lived as ordinary mortals until a group of demons found us. They attacked, and I had to run away, you know? I thought they'd killed my mom. Aiden and Apollo? Well, Apollo was known as Leon back then, but anyway, they found me and brought me back to the Covenant. I didn't really let myself process what I believed to be her death. Faint sunlight touched her cheeks. It was easier just not to think about it. After all, I had a lot going on. Probably wasn't the smartest thing, but I learned later that my mom wasn't dead. She'd been turned into a demon, and she was hunting us. Hunting me. Why was she doing that? She pressed her lips together. She knew what I was. She retained all that knowledge after she was turned into a demon. It changed her, made her evil. She thought if she turned me, she could control the Apollyon. Alex drew in a stuttered breath. Once I knew she'd been turned, it became my duty to kill her. I shook my head. And you did? She nodded as she looked over at me. She never would have wanted to become what she had, and I couldn't let her be that way. I found her, and it was the hardest thing I'd ever done. I couldn't even wrap my head around it. I know what you're feeling, she said quietly. I felt it twice. The anger, the pain. My lower lip trembled. Something else we have in common. Seems like we have some of the worst things in common, she replied, a wry grin on her lips. I know there is nothing I can tell you that's really going to make you feel better, except that I know your mother is in a better place. A flash of anger surged through me. How do you know that? Because I've been there. Her eyes met mine, and for some dumb reason, I had forgotten that Alex had died a mortal death. I'm there 6 months out of the year, she continued. I 100% agree with whatever violent thoughts you have when it comes to Apollo, but no matter what, he would have made sure your mother is in the Elysian Fields. Anything she wants, she will have access to, and she is not alone. She's most likely with your grandparents right now. If what Alex said was true, and I guessed it had to be true, I didn't have to think of her as just ceasing to exist or being alone. Mom hated to be alone. Hope sparked alive. If Mom was in the underworld, couldn't I visit her? Can I see her? A sad smile tugged at her lips. To get into Elysian Fields when you do not belong there is not easy. But I'm a demigod. That doesn't matter. You'd need Hades to cross you over, or you'd have to enter through one of the gateways, and that isn't simple. You'd have to travel through the underworld to get to Elysium, she explained. And with you being a demigod, there are things down there that would sense you right away. She paused. Maybe one day, once everything settles down, Hades would allow you to visit her, but it is not something often allowed. Your mom is safe and most likely happy, but she is dead, and the living do not visit the dead. Hope fizzled out. I bit down on my lip as I turned my head. Except for you. Except for Aiden and me, she agreed. Technically, I'd died a mortal death when my powers had been unlocked, but it hadn't been the same as Alex. I was simply a mortal one moment and a demigod the next. I wasn't sent to the underworld. I wasn't sure I was even technically considered dead during any event. Do you visit your mom there? She hesitated. Yes. That was something we didn't have in common. I cast my gaze out over the ocean, wondering if what Apollo had said about Aaron was true. For all I knew now, she could also be dead. My chest hollowed out. It gets easier, she stated. It really does. I was going to have to take her word for that. Dawn arrived as we sat side by side, and the sky turned a calm shade of blue, cloudless and endless. Apollo is a shit father, Alex said so suddenly that a harsh laugh escaped me. A small grin appeared on her face. No, seriously, he is. Yeah, I forced out, closing my eyes briefly. I think he tries, like he probably thought he was doing the right thing by not telling you about your mom. The gods, they have a very messed up view of things. Alex straightened out her legs. Nothing we do will ever change that. I gave a curt shake of my head. He doesn't try hard enough. He barely speaks to me when he's here. He talks more to you and Aiden, and I know how that sounds. Like I'm jealous. I exhaled raggedly. I am jealous. You have a better relationship with him. I've known him longer, and we fought side by side. Throwing up my hands, I cursed in exasperation. Exactly. I get that he wasn't supposed to know me before and that being around me now weakens him, but I don't care. I spat the last three words out. The time he's here, he could try to get to know me, try to be a father. And he lied to me, and I don't care what his reasons are. On a roll, I kept going. And let's not forget the fact that he never warned us that Seth could become the God Killer and might actually kill a Titan. We needed to know that. Agreed. Alex twisted toward me, her brown eyes sharp. Aiden and I were told to keep an eye on him, and I know you don't like to hear that, she added when I opened my mouth. You were right when you told Apollo that no one knows Seth like you do. I snapped my mouth shut. You know this, Seth, and I'm not sure who or what he really is now, but we know the old Seth, too, and because of that, we have to be cautious. The gods had to be cautious. Her lips curled on one side. And they were cautious because apparently they kind of knew more than what they told us. He's not evil, I said, for what felt like the thousandth time. Alex's brows furrowed together as she turned back to the ocean. I think you're right. I am, I said vehemently. She nodded again, and a moment passed. I am sorry about your mother. The next breath I took hurt. Thank you. Alex dragged the tips of her fingers through the crabgrass and dirt. If you ever need to talk about it, I'm here. Pressing my lips closed, I nodded. I ran out of words, along with the desire to find them. I didn't say anything else. Neither did Alex. We just sat there in silence, shoulder to shoulder, joined in a way by the terrible things we'd experienced, the heartache we'd felt, and the shared dread of the unknown we faced.
Chapter 6 Seth. The house was as quiet as a ghost as I stood in the room I'd sworn I would never return to. I'd only made it a few feet inside the door when my feet stopped moving. I couldn't even believe that I'd walked into this damn house, and I sure as hell had no idea why I'd come up here, to this room. It was the last place I ever wanted to be, but I was here, and had been standing here for what had to be hours. Hours. The people in the house, the staff or servants or whatever, had given me wide berth as I'd entered, all except one. He was a male half-blood. He'd stayed back as I climbed the stairs, but I knew he was out in the hallway. Whoever the half was, he possessed major common sense and an admirable amount of instinct, because he'd known not to follow me into this room. If he had... The coldness in my chest spread like a vortex of ice and wind. If anyone had followed me in here, it would have been the last thing they'd done. My hands opened and closed at my sides, as crackling power seeped out of my pores. The room was just like I'd left it all those years ago. A neatly made bed stood in the center of the spacious quarters. The nightstand by the bed only had a lamp positioned in the furthest corner. How many times had I moved that lamp closer to the bed, and then found it the following evening pushed back to the farthest corner of the nightstand? Every single goddamn day. There was a narrow dresser across from the bed with the same damn TV sitting on it, and that was it. Nothing else was in the room but a fine layer of dust covering the dresser and nightstand. This had been my bedroom. I wanted to burn this room. Why did I want to come here? This wasn't a place of happy, happy memories. Emptiness poured into my chest as I surveyed the cold and lifeless bedroom. Coming back to this house meant I'd be near only a few thousand people. Andros wasn't heavily populated. Coming here was a smart move, but walking into this room was a mistake. I rubbed my palm over my chest, but nothing filled the gaping hole there, because that void had nothing to do with this house or this bedroom. Exhaling roughly, I walked toward the heavily shrouded window and pulled the curtain back. Dusk had begun to settle over the courtyard down below. I closed my eyes, and instead of being sucked back into those long nights and mornings of staring out this window, watching my mother, I saw Josie's face, and I wanted to be there. I wanted to see her. And then it happened. My heart took a beat, and every cell in my body scattered. One second I was in my old bedroom, and the next I was standing in a small room that appeared to be a hotel. I took a step back as my gaze swung around the room. Heavy curtains were drawn, blotting out the sun. I caught a glimpse of blonde hair splayed out across a pillow. Shit! I hadn't meant to do this. But I had. I'd brought myself to Josie. Holy shit! It had only taken a second, a freaking second, and I was suddenly within feet of her, and she was right there, lying on a bed, curled onto her side. Her back was to me, but I knew that was Josie. I knew the line of her body, even under a thin white blanket. That was her curve of the hip and waist. That was my Josie. That was my Psyche Moo. My soul. Only hours had passed since I'd left her, but it felt like a fucking eternity. I took a breath, and it got stuck somewhere in my chest. She was right there. I didn't move or dare to breathe too loudly. She couldn't wake up if she did, and she said my name if she looked at me. I couldn't walk away again. I shouldn't be here. Seconds slid by in a slow succession as 100 questions rose in my head. Where was Josie? This didn't appear to be the house we'd been in. Were they still in Malibu, or had they left? If I concentrated hard enough, I swore I could hear the ocean outside. Where was everyone else? Alex and Aiden, the boys and Poseidon's son. How in the hell had I come all this way without realizing I was doing it? The gnawing in the pit of my stomach rumbled like hunger pains. I needed to be gone from here. Josie wasn't safe with me. One foot followed the other, and then I was at her back. My heart thundered in my chest as muscles along my back and shoulders tensed. All thought processes were clicking off and common sense dive-bombed off a cliff. My fingers grazed over her soft, silky hair. I lifted a thick strand and curled my fingers around it. My gaze crawled up over the slope of her bare shoulder and the thin strap of one of those tank tops she was always wearing. I laid the strands of her hair down on the pillow as my gaze tracked the deep rise and fall of her chest. Lowering my hand, I snagged the edge of the thin blanket and drew it down, revealing the deep dip of her waist. The tank top she wore had ridden up, showing off a section of skin and the lacy edges of her panties. Josie squirmed in her sleep, shifting halfway onto her back. I held my breath as those thick lashes fluttered. Any second she could open her eyes and I'd be lost, I'd be found. And there would be no going back. Those eyes didn't open. Her hand fell to the side, slightly brushing my arm. It was like a jolt of electricity, lighting up every cell. Wake up. That order whispered in my thoughts. It was wrong, so very wrong, but if she opened her eyes and saw me, I couldn't walk away. I wanted her to wake up. I wanted to touch her, hold her. I wanted to curl my body around hers. I needed to feel her skin flush against mine. I needed to hear my name on her lips. My gaze flickered to the swell of her breasts, and the hunger raging inside me mixed with stark arousal. I needed everything about her, everything. Fear punched through my gut, fear for her. I dropped the blanket, struggling against instinct that was primal and raw. I forced myself to take a step back, and then another. The back of my throat burned. My knuckles ached from how tightly I was now clenching my fists. I could not be here. Closing my eyes, I pictured the house on Andros, and I felt the tagging. Within a second, I was back to the house, to the old bedroom. "Gods!" I growled. Shaken, I pivoted around and left the bedroom, slamming the door shut behind me. I passed the half in the hall and took the steps two at a time. On the main level, I headed for the study and straight for the liquor. Fuck! What I'd just done was leveling up on the whole stalker thing, and it had been so damn dangerous. The hunger for her, for what was inside her, was a monster clawing its way out of me. I couldn't do it again. There was no way. I hadn't even made it a full fucking day without searching Josie out. The cabinet door opened before I reached it. With a trembling hand, I grabbed the first square-based crystal decanter. Popping the lid, I lifted it to my mouth and drank until my entire body burned. I drank until the decanter was empty. Then I reached for another. Amber liquid swished, and I drank until there were no thoughts of Josie. Until there were no thoughts of anything.
Josie. Opening my eyes, I found myself staring at the unfamiliar bedroom walls. My heart was pounding, and as I inhaled deeply, I caught a woodsy scent. Jerking up, I threw the cover off and swung my bare legs off the bed. Seth! I said his name before I could stop myself. I turned around, scanning the darkened room. Of course there was no answer. He wasn't here. My stomach hollowed as I backed up, plopping down on the edge of the bed. Running my hands through my hair, I tugged the strands back as I exhaled roughly. My head thumped, and my eyes burned. I didn't know how long I'd slept, but I knew it couldn't have been more than a few hours. I hadn't wanted to fall asleep. There was too much to do, but my body had given out to sorrow-tinged exhaustion the moment we arrived at Gable's uncle's house. Or was it his aunt? Grandmother? I had no idea. For all I knew, it could have been a second home. Rich people had those kinds of things. After Alex and I had gone back inside, we discovered that the guys had everything packed up. It was obviously no longer safe at Gable's home. Too weary to argue, I climbed into the back of the SUV and rode several miles down the coast to yet another sprawling mansion. I'd expected there to be more damage from the Atlas-induced earthquake, but a block away from Gable's homes, the large palm leaves were swaying in the breeze, and cars zoomed up and down the roads. The mortals obviously believed it had been an earthquake, and nothing more. When we got to the house on yet another cliff overlooking the sea, I followed Gable to a guest room, stripped off my jeans, and climbed into the bed. I hadn't wanted to sleep, but at the same time, I did, because then I wouldn't have to think about my mom or Seth or my father. But now I was awake. Swallowing down the bitter knot of emotions, I stood and walked over to where my jeans were lying on the arm of a dark brown chair. I dragged them on and then towed on my flip-flops. I left the bedroom and made my way down a wide spiral staircase. The house was quiet, but as I entered what I guessed was a massive living room, I could see Luke and Deacon on a startling white couch. Luke was on his back, head resting on the arm. Deacon was curled on his side, his blonde head on Luke's chest. An arm and leg were thrown over Luke's waist and legs, as if he were ensuring that Luke was actually getting some rest. Both were asleep, and staring at them caused a twinge of hurt to spike my heart. A soft-looking gray blanket was draped over the back of a chair. Picking it up, I carefully laid it over the guys. Neither stirred. I figured only another earthquake, hopefully one that didn't include scorched demons, would wake them. Finding my way through the house, I opened French doors that led out onto a heavily shaded patio. It wasn't empty. Alex was sitting in one of the outdoor chaise lounges. Of course it was white. The people who lived here apparently had a thing for white furniture. She tipped her head back and smiled up at me. Hey. Hey. I stopped in the middle of the patio and crossed my arms. What are you doing out here? Can't sleep, Alex said, running her hands over her thighs. I mean, I did for about an hour, but I woke up and couldn't fall back. I came out here so I wouldn't wake anyone else up. She paused. You should still be sleeping. Yeah, I murmured, spying a rocky path in the dirt and crabgrass. Do you think that leads to cliffs or the beach? Don't know. Want to find out? A weary smile tugged at the corners of my lips. Sure. Alex popped up faster than I would have expected, but then again, she was like the Terminator on crack. We hit the worn path in silence. A couple of minutes later, we discovered that it led to a cliff, not a sheer one like back at Malibu. The path continued down the slope to a patch of sand and rock. Eyeing the hill, I decided I really didn't want to climb back up, so I found a boulder and sat down. It's really beautiful here. Yeah, it is. Alex's hair lifted off her shoulder as she stared out into the sea. I think I could live somewhere like this. You know, Aiden and I have been talking about a place we'd like to settle down when we're topside. Right now, it's wherever Deacon is, but we'd like to have our own place eventually. You're thinking it might be in California? One shoulder rose. Maybe. Aiden would love someplace in the mountains, though. And you? Her whiskey-colored eyes met mine. I'd love wherever he's at. My heart turned over heavily. She really meant that, and God, I would have felt the same way with Seth. Wherever he was, I would be happy. I still felt that way. I just needed to get to the islands and hopefully convince him to stop being so damn stupid. So what's your game plan, Josie? She asked. You let us know if it's changed. We'll do whatever. The sky cracked behind us, and we both moved in unison. Every muscle in me protested, but I pushed through it. Springing to my feet, I spun around, having no idea what to expect and preparing myself for anything. Anything except what I saw. Chapter 7. My heart stuttered as I recognized the massive man standing before us. An eternity could pass, and I would never forget the curved pitch-black eyes, the shaved head, or the shade of skin that was neither black or white or tan. I'd never forget Hyperion. Oh, crap, Alex muttered. Fear exploded in my gut as everything clicked into place. My wild gaze gauged the distance between him and the house where Gable was resting. Bone-deep knowledge told me that even if the home were only a few feet away, it wouldn't matter. There was no safety in the house, and I used the Pegasus blade on Seth. The remaining blades were most likely inside the house with Gable, who could not be seen by Hyperion, and I had no idea how to entomb a damn Titan. The same bitter knowledge also told me we would not win this fight. Miss me? Hyperion asked. Shimmery white light powered down my right arm. Like I'd miss a gunshot wound. Hyperion laughed darkly. Oh, but I've missed you. Terror trickled down my spine as I tapped into the ether. Power flickered inside me, weakened from the overuse and no real rest. Run, I urged Alex. Brandishing blades she must have had hidden on her, she widened her stance. I noticed one of them was the Pegasus blade. Never. You should listen to her, Hyperion warned. And you should stop talking, she spat back. His lips curled into a cruel smile as he focused on me. I have a bone to pick with you, Sunshine. After our last well-spent time together, he said, and I flinched. I had to piece myself back together, and that was not pleasant. My heart was pounding fast. Can't say I feel bad about that. Well, you will know exactly how it feels by the time I'm done with you. Told you I'd be back. His chin tilted toward Alex. And your idiot friend there is going to be an amazing snack. A maid demigod. So thoughtful of you, Sunshine. Alex's eyes blazed. Oh, I am so not a snack. Hyperion sniffed the air and laughed again. You're not much of anything except soon to be very, very dead. I sensed the moment Alex was about to attack. Her rage was palpable, and I struck first, releasing the bolt of Akasha. It slammed into Hyperion's shoulder. He laughed, laughed. His smile spread as he stepped forward, and the ground trembled under his bare feet.
You're going to have to do better than that.
Alex launched forward, spinning in air, her right leg extended, about to make an impressive dropkick as I tapped into the ether again. Hyperion's laugh was like a blast of icy wind. Stepping into her kick, his hand snapped out as fast as lightning. He caught her by the ankle and flung her like a frisbee. Alex! I shouted as she flew backward, slamming into a boulder. She hit the ground and rolled, pushing up to her knees as she threw her head back, knocking the long strands of brown hair out of her face. The blades were still held tight in her hands. So badass. I let go of Akasha, this time hitting Hyperion in the chest. He jerked back a step as Alex yelled my name. I turned just as she tossed one of the blades at me. It wasn't dipped in Pegasus blood, but it would have to do. Spinning back to Hyperion as Alex jumped to her feet, I tapped into the element of air. Loose strands of hair lifted off my shoulders, and a gust of wind shot across the distance. Hyperion powered through it. Gasping, I shot to the side and spun, thrusting the blade out. The fun end hit its target, sinking through his skin and embedding deep into his chest. I lifted my chin. Hyperion hissed softly. Everything happened so fast. He didn't even look behind him as Alex came down on him, the blade raised high. Wrapping one hand around mine, which was still clenching the handle, he threw out his other hand, catching Alex in the chest. He swatted her back like she was a gnat. I drew on the power of fire, heating the dagger until the skin of my hand was scalded. Hyperion wrenched my wrist hard enough that a cry of pain parted my lips. His other hand flew around, connecting with the side of my face. Black starbursts exploded behind my eyes. I tore my arm free, blinking to clear my vision as I stumbled back several steps. Hyperion reached down, tearing the blade from his chest. The blade disintegrated in his grip. Oh, crap, I gasped out. He whipped around, catching Alex's arm, snapping it like it was nothing but a dry limb. The tainted blade fell to the ground. Her scream of pain blistered my ears, and pure stark terror hit me as he wrapped his other hand around her neck. Hyperion would kill Alex. He would do it without a second thought. I sprung forward, slamming my heel into the small of Hyperion's back. He moved an inch forward, and I dipped down, reaching for the blade Alex had dropped. Between his tree trunk-sized legs, I saw Aiden pounding up the sandy hill, his expression furious. Hyperion laughed as he threw Alex to the side, like she was nothing more than a ball of paper. I caught just a glimpse of Aiden veering off to the side, going for her. A deep voice shouted, and then a stream of fire went up, circling Alex and Aiden. Hyperion turned, kicking the blade several feet away. My gaze followed his, and I saw Luke and Deacon racing toward us.
Oh, even more things to play with.
Hyperion flicked a finger. A finger. Luke was lifted off the ground without warning. He flew through the air like a bullet, slamming into the base of a palm tree. He hit the ground. Deacon didn't stop. My eyes widened with horror as Deacon threw up his hand again. Smoke wafted from his fingertips. Oh no, no, he could not face Hyperion. What was he thinking? Popping to my feet, I took off as Hyperion shifted toward Aiden's brother. I ran, ran faster than I ever had. Darting in front of Hyperion, I skidded to a stop and spun around, planting myself between them.
Josie!
Deacon yelled. Go, I demanded, breathing heavy.
Damn it, Deacon. Get the hell out of here.
Now, don't listen to her and ruin all my fun, Hyperion taunted.
I stepped back, forcing Deacon backward as the wall of flames around Alex and Aiden dropped. Alex was on her feet, cradling her arm. Aiden's gunmetal gray eyes widened when he saw his brother. I couldn't let Hyperion get to him, get to any of them. Pushing off my back leg, I spun out, preparing to deliver a vicious kick. Hyperion swung out his arm, catching me around the waist. I shouted as he lifted me. My arms flailed as he slammed me into the ground.
The impact rattled every bone in my body. Hyperion grabbed a fistful of my hair. Shouting as he lifted me up, my hands grabbed at his as fiery pain erupted over my scalp. My feet left the ground, and I was suddenly eye to eye with Hyperion.
I have spent days and weeks and months fantasizing about what I'm going to do to you.
His voice was soft, but the words hit me like a sledgehammer.
I cannot wait to get started.
I drew in a short breath. Then I was flying backwards, and I didn't have the chance to brace for impact. Hitting the ground, I gasped as the air was knocked out of my lungs. Stunned, I couldn't move for several seconds. Holy crap! I had to dig deep, summoning Akasha as I started to lift myself up, but I couldn't find the strength. All I had was instinct, a drive to survive. I put one hand in front of the other and moved my knees. I crawled along the dusty ground, fingers digging through thin blades of grass. Get up! Get up! Get up! Lightning struck across the sky, filling the air with electricity. Dumbly, I watched the sky rip right open. Wings. All I saw were wings. Wings that spanned 8 feet, attached to long, lean bodies. They circled at dizzying speeds. Screams. Screams of fury ripped through the air, raising the hairs all along my body. Furies! Someone shouted. Maybe Aiden? Aaron. Aaron! Backup was here, finally. All I needed to do was to get up. Just get... Pain exploded along the side of my ribs as I was flipped over. My back hit the hard dirt as the air wheezed out of my lungs. Hyperion loomed over me.
Time for us to go!
I opened my mouth, but another burst of pain robbed me of breath and sight. And then there was nothing but darkness. A shiver woke me. The first thing I became aware of was the fact I was lying on my side and there was a hard, damp floor under me. It was cold, too cold. Blinking my eyes open, I bit back a moan. I could barely see anything as I gingerly lifted myself up, planting one hand on what turned out to be a cement floor. Where in the world was I? Where was everyone? The Furies? Moving a hand to my fist, I jerked my fingers back when a faint shock traveled up my arms. There was something wrapped around my wrists. Bracelets. Thin bracelets. They most definitely hadn't been there before, and I had a bad feeling about them, about all of this. My ribs hurt as I sat up. The steady throbbing in my temples caused my head to swim as my eyes slowly adjusted. There was a small window high up. Dust danced in the faint light that trickled in. Taking small breaths, I lowered my gaze along the wet cement walls. A dank, musty scent filled my nostrils, reminding me of how the shades from the underworld had smelled. I shivered again. Turning slightly, I bit down on my lip as my body protested the movement, and then gasped. I wasn't alone. There were 2 people in the room with me. Both were lying on their sides. One was female, dirty, bedraggled hair that appeared to be somewhere between brown and black shielded her face. She was only wearing what appeared to be a tank top and underwear. Even in the pale light, I could see that her thin legs were covered in either bruises or dirt. Near me was a shirtless male, his chest and stomach sunken in. Horror gave me strength to sit up fully as I stared at them. I had a horrible suspicion of who they were and where I was. Hello, I croaked out. Neither body moved. I had no idea if they were alive. Forcing myself to move, I winced as I managed to drag myself the few feet to the closest body. The closer I was, I could make out some of his features. He had high cheekbones and full lips, but that was all I could see. His jaw was bruised and dirtied. I placed my hand on his still arm, sucking in air as I felt his cool, clammy skin. And his eyes opened. Drawing back, I stared into dull, vacant eyes. I opened my mouth to speak, but terror closed my throat off because I knew there was barely any life in those eyes. He was almost a shell,
a dried-out husk of a person, and these two people were the missing demigods, the ones we were headed to find. I sat back, fell back on my butt, and I felt no pain as I stared at him. "Oh my God," I whispered. "No, no way. This couldn't be happening. I couldn't be here." Panic unfurled in my chest. My gaze swung around the room as my pulse pounded erratically. Oh God, I couldn't be here. I would wake up and... No, this wasn't a nightmare. I was with the Titans, and that could only mean one thing for me. No one would be coming. Seth didn't know I was captured. He was gone, and I didn't know what had happened to Alex and Aiden or Deacon or Luke. I had no idea if they were alive or in here, wherever here was, or somewhere else if the Furies had protected them. My fingers curled in, nails digging into my palms. I dragged in a halting breath. I was so screwed. And I was scared, terrified. I didn't want to be. I wanted to be like I was sure Alex would be if she were in my place. Scared but strong, confused but plotting a way out from the moment she awoke. But I wasn't her. I hadn't trained since birth. I was just a mortal less than a year ago, and I knew. Oh, gods, I knew what was going to happen to me. All those horrid, whispered promises Hyperion had made me before Seth had arrived the last time. He was going to carry through with them. I knew it. Pressing the back of my hand to my mouth, I squeezed my eyes shut. Tears burned as the panic infiltrated every vein. I couldn't. Voices and footsteps echoed outside the chamber, and I froze, unsure of what to do as I tried to decipher the language they spoke. Moments passed, and I began to understand. A woman was speaking. "You are a fool, Hyperion. You are not the one in control here." "I did not ask for your counsel." She made an exasperated sound. "Her! He will come for her, and he already..." "Close your mouth, or I will rip your tongue out, Tethys," Hyperion warned. "You know I will." My heart stopped, and there was only silence for a few seconds. Then I swallowed hard, eyes widening as I heard the locks turning on the door. There was nowhere for me to go, and it didn't matter, because the door swung open and light leaked into the room, revealing a narrow tunnel and Hyperion standing in the center of it. The male beside me suddenly moved. He scuttled back against the wall and hunched over, curling his forearms around his face as he began to rock.
"God!"
He strode forward, legs encased in leather.
"You're awake. Now the fun can really begin."
I threw up a hand. "Don't come any closer." He stopped, and I could hear the smile in his voice.
"Or what?"
There was no point in replying. Concentrating, I reached deep inside of me and searched for ether and found nothing. What? I pressed a hand to my stomach, to my core, and felt nothing. Hyperion chuckled.
"There's nothing you can do. You see, Sunshine, nothing is simply absolute. There is always a nullifying factor. Those bands around your wrist were once around ours."
Lifting my arms, I stared at the thin bands.
"They were forged in Olympus with the blood of Zeus and Cronus," he explained. "Titan blood is powerful, and if you mix it with the Olympians, it was what allowed our children to entomb us. Those bands nullified our powers long enough for us to be placed in those tombs. They were removed when we did the whole deep sleep, never wake up gig. Luckily, we were able to find a few."
I couldn't breathe.
"Do you know how the gods maintain their power, their immortality?"
he asked casually, like we were discussing how to spruce up the place. "No," I grunted out, heart thumping. "But I guess you're going to tell me."
"No, Sunshine, I'm going to show you."
"Yay," I muttered, lifting my gaze to his.
"Your bravado is false. The stench of terror seeps from your pores." I shuddered. "But that's okay. Pretend you're brave. It will be so much more fun breaking you, and I will this time."
Hyperion crouched in front of me.
"But back to the more interesting part of the conversation. For the gods to live outside of Olympus, we must feed.
My stomach hollowed as I trembled.
We can make it good, or we can make it feel like your skin is being flayed from your bones, but you...
He reached out, folding his hand around my jaw. I winced at the touch, and he smiled.
You already know that.
Breathing raggedly, a scream built in my throat as the male demigod whimpered.
And it's time to feed.
Chapter 8. Seth. You need to feed, Kyrios. Lowering the glass, I raised a brow as the amber liquid swirled along the crystal. At some point, I stopped drinking straight from the decanter and bottle. That was an improvement. Night had fallen. The sky was blanketed with stars, and until Basil had spoken, I'd been alone on the balcony. It had only been the sound of waves crashing against the shore, and my thoughts. Thoughts only of Josie. Every spare moment was consumed by her. How was she feeling? Did she still mourn the death of Solos? Was she okay? Angry? Hurt? I assumed she was furious at me, and I hoped for that, because anger was better than pain, pain I'd inflicted upon her. And when I wasn't thinking about that, I was remembering what she felt like. Her silky skin, her soft hair, and her plush lips. I recalled her throaty laugh and breathy moans. Sometimes, when it was quiet in this massive tomb of a home, I'd heard her calling out to me. I was fucking losing my mind. My lips curled up on one side as I lifted the glass. At least I hadn't unintentionally willed myself to her again, but my head was a relentless one-way train I couldn't get off of. 3 days had passed since I'd arrived here, since I last saw her sleeping, and the only thing I'd done was pop out of one room and into the next. Well, that wasn't the only thing I'd managed to do. I was making an impressive dent in the liquor stock. The liquor here was blended precisely for our kind, mixed with only the gods knew what. One shot would probably knock a mortal flat on their ass, maybe even kill them. I was pretty sure I'd spent the last 3 days in what most would consider a drunken stupor. Kyrios? Gods, this man did not give up!
I've already eaten. I took another drink, lips peeling back as the burn cascaded down my throat. Each evening a feast that could feed an army was prepared. Duck. Cow. Pig. Chicken. Tonight there had been a random pizza in the mix of the roasted hen and grilled fish.
And how many times have I told you not to call me master?
Yes, Kyrios, he replied in thickly accented English. My eyes rolled as my fingers tightened on the glass. I glanced over to where the dark-haired Basil stood. He was maybe a decade older than me, dressed in all-white linen. He was a half-blood. A servant. He didn't have the mark of servitude on his forehead, though. When I realized there were over a dozen halves in service, I told them to leave. Released them from service or some bullshit. None of them left. I'd ordered the pures to hit the road. None of them left. According to Basil, they were pleased to serve their Theos. I was the god-killer, but I was no god. At least that was what I kept telling myself. Kind of hard when the half and pures bowed whenever they saw me, or the fact that the men and women here who wore cloth the color of amber were priests and priestesses for shit's sake. And they were chock-full of ether. Not like a demigod or a god, but more potent than a pure or a half. Just because I was the god-killer and could pull an Apollo randomly poofing into rooms didn't mean I was a god. It didn't matter what that nymph had said when he'd finished the prophecy given to Alex all that time ago. I was not a god. I also recognized I was surfing the mad river of denial, but what the fuck ever.
You must feed Kyrios. It is the way of your kind.
Basil tried again. A medallion hung from his neck. Engraved in the center was an S, closed at the end. The invincibility rune. The priests and priestesses wore the same symbol. I was currently not acknowledging what that medallion symbolized. I knew what Basil was getting at with the whole feeding shit. Yeah, he wasn't talking about consuming calories. Real fucking weird around here. I could leave. Even considered it on the second day when I entered the large bedroom facing the sea, the one I'd decided would be mine, and found a priestess waiting for me. On my bed, completely nude. Males across the world probably hung their heads in shame when I'd ordered her from my sight. Hell, the Seth before Josie would have been all halle-fucking-luja. But when I saw the woman, all I saw, all I wanted, was Josie. Screwing Josie out of my system would probably speed along the process of detaching myself from her, but I couldn't bring myself to do it, to even entertain the idea. I was beginning to wonder if the odd urge to return here had meant something else, something that obviously had to do with Ewan, the servants, the priests and priestesses, and the damn medallion. Closing my eyes, I tipped my head back against the chair as I bent one knee. A low, simmering burn in the pit of my stomach rode me hard. It was a burn that no food would satisfy. Liquor dulled the need a little. Not a lot, but some. Basil snapped his fingers, drawing my attention again. Opening my eyes, I saw a woman step out onto the balcony. A golden gown billowed around her legs. I stilled. She was a blonde and tall, like... I sucked in a sharp breath. The gown did very little to hide the curves of her body. Lydia would be honored to serve you, Basil said softly. So quietly, I thought I was hearing crap. The pure blood came forward and my brows rose as she lowered herself onto her knees before me. Please, she said, staring up at me with eyes as blue as the sea at the shores. We can help you. Help me? I repeated dumbly. She nodded. You're blonde. I croaked out, wondering why all the damn priestesses that I'd seen so far were blonde. A look of confusion marked the woman's face as her hand floated to the long strands. Do you not like blondes? I really didn't have a preference, to be honest, and Josie's hair wasn't just one shade of blonde or brown. It was an odd mixture I'd never seen before. I also couldn't believe I'd said that out loud. Irritation rose. I'm done! I waved one hand as I looked over at Basil in warning. This is not going to happen. The priestess hesitated and then looked over her shoulder questioningly. When he nodded, she rose. She hurried from the balcony. Go! I ordered roughly. Basil bowed stiffly and then exited through the archway, entering the house. I was alone once more. What in the hell had happened to this place? Not that this wasn't an improvement from when my mother ran this house. There'd been beatings and partings and beatings and guests. There hadn't been priests or priestesses or staff that actually wanted to be here. There most definitely hadn't been a pillared temple at the end of the honey-scented, wild, thyme-filled courtyard. The really weird part of that, the thing, had to have taken at least a year or so to build. It didn't just appear in the last couple of weeks. I'd seen the temple on the first day. Above the entryway, the invincibility rune was carved into the sandstone. Two priestesses in amber-garbed gowns had waited outside. I hadn't gone in. I would not go in. This place was fucking bizarre. For what the gods have feared has come to pass. Hell, I muttered, lifting my gaze to the starry night. You out there, Apollo?
Eavesdropping? You hear what that nymph had to say? There was no answer. But I laughed anyway. Out with the old and in with the new, eh? Does that mean your time has come? Still no answer. Not that I expected any of the gods to come within a mile of me now. I sat for a while, and a while turned into maybe an hour or three, tossing back the rest of the metaxa, a native liquor. I held the glass up and watched as the crystal folded into itself, evaporating into dust with just a mere thought, and an even smaller push of ether. That was new. Standing, I swayed a little to the right, my foot knocking into an empty bottle of the spicy brandy. The other was only half empty. I swiped that one off the floor and took a deep drink. Who needed glasses anyway? I started to walk back through the doors and then remembered that walking was for losers. Smirking, I decided I wanted to go to the room I chose, and I felt my body shift. Actually, it felt like all the cells in my body were buzzing apart and coming back together. Strangest damn sensation. A second later, I was inside the cavernous room my mother used to reserve for special guests. I still hadn't gone to my mother's old chambers. If I went to that room, I'd probably set it afire. I opened my eyes and cursed. You've got to be kidding me. Another priestess was perched on the ornate bench at the foot of the bed, her hands folded primly in her lap. This one was older, probably somewhere in her mid-30s, still beautiful. Her hair was pulled back from her face and left hanging down the center of her back. And holy shit, she wasn't a blonde. Fisting the bottle, I raised it to my mouth. You have about 5 seconds to leave this room, or you won't be leaving it in one piece. The priestess rose slowly, unlocking her fingers. Please, hear me out first. I swallowed the fiery liquid. 4 seconds. My name is Karina. 3 seconds. A small smile appeared. I am the head priestess of the Temple of the Appointed. Basil may have mentioned at some point that the temple was called that, and I may have immediately disregarded that piece of information. 2 seconds. And you, Seth the Appointed, are a god. My lips twisted into a smirk as I raised the bottle once more. I might have been told that a time or 500 before. A perplexed frown pinched her face. I do not jest, Kyrios. When you awakened, you fulfilled the prophecy decreed by the Delphi oracles many, many moons ago. You are now a god and no longer bound to mortal whims or obligations. You've risen above. I stared at her, eyes narrowed. There was something different about her. I might have been slightly intoxicated, but there was a humming to her that wasn't present with the other priestesses. You will usher in the new, she continued, taking a tentative step forward. But you must learn what it means to be a god. Is that so? I murmured, walking past her. Finishing off the rest of the brandy, I set the empty bottle on a dresser. You may drink and be merry as much as you like, she advised. You may indulge in any manner of entertainment you seek, but you must feed. Turning, I lifted my arms and leaned back against the dresser. What is it with you people and the whole feeding shit? This place is like the opposite of AA. She inclined her head to the side. You do not understand. Did Basil not inform you? I exhaled ruggedly. He might have been talking and I might have been drinking. Karina took a small step toward me and she must have read something in my expression because she stopped and stiffened. You can eat as much mortal food as you'd like, but it will not sustain you now. Gods must feed on ether. You must. Aggravation filled my tone. I am not. You are a god, she said, green eyes flashing. And if you are a smart god, you will stop lying to yourself. My brows shot up. Did you just say I was stupid? I said no such thing. She clasped her hands together. Rubbing my hand across my jaw, I eyed the massive bed. You need to go. I cannot. My head turned to her slowly. Whitish amber light crackled over my arms across my bare chest. The room tinted. You really do not want to test me. Her chin lifted as her nostrils flared. Stupid of her, but brave. I understand. You understand nothing. My voice pitched low as I took a step toward her. Only a foot away, a knot formed in my gut. The ether inside her sang to me. My head was already dizzy, but now the room seemed to tilt. You are confused. You did not expect any of this, even though we've been watching and waiting, preparing. This has all been foreseen. Waiting? The humming in my core grew, and the empty hole inside me spread. And you are in pain. She lifted her hand, placing it between her breasts. Here. You are in a lot of pain. In your heart. I understand. How did she know? Oh, the whole waiting and watching part. Nice. But you still must feed. The buzzing cleared long enough for me to say, I can't do that. The back of my throat itched and burned. It makes me crazy. Out of control. You are no longer the Apollyon. You are no longer the child of a half-blood and a pure-blood. You are a god, she said, taking another step forward. She had to tip her head back to meet my stare. She was short. Short as Alex. And she wasn't blonde, or tall, or full of curves. I looked at her and I didn't see Josie. Her eyes searched mine. The Apollyon can feed, but was never meant to do so. When pures feed on one another, it is a taboo and dangerous thing because they were never meant to do so. This is how a demon can be created, but for the gods, for them, they are surrounded by ether in Olympus. They breathe it. For you, a god existing outside of Olympus, you will need to feed. I flinched as she placed her hand on my shoulder. You must. And then you will understand, she said. And her voice echoed in my head, drilled down my spine, and she looked nothing like Josie. You must feed, she urged, reaching down and wrapping her cool fingers around my wrist. She raised my hand and placed my palm against her sternum. Now! The tightening in my gut lashed out. I moved, curling one hand around the nape of the woman's neck, and my palm pressed in. Every part of my body came alive, like the desert during a rare rainstorm. I did it. I fed.
Chapter 9. Josie. Breathe in, breathe out. Lying on my side, I focused on simply making it through the lingering pain. The burn of feeding had eased, but with every breath I took, pain lanced my ribs and shot across the back of my head. Breathe in, breathe out. I had no idea how much time had passed since Hyperion had brought me here. A day? Longer? Shorter? My empty stomach rumbled. I was hungry, but the mere thought of eating twisted my insides. Forcing my eyes open, I wearily scanned the dark room. I could see the forms of the other two prisoners. I wasn't alone. Letting out a shaky breath, I placed my palm against the dirt floor and winced as I pushed myself up into a sitting position. It felt like my ribs were on fire as I scooted back and leaned against the wall. I'd barely moved, but I felt out of breath and disoriented as my vision adjusted to the low light. I cleared my raw throat, and it hurt. Hello? Each time I was awake, each time I was alone, I called out to the other two. I never got a response. I honestly didn't expect this time to be any different, but it was. Something in the shadows stirred. Clothing rustled against the floor. The form slowly, painfully pushed into a sitting position.
Who are you?
It was the male. Relief nearly made me cry out. He was alive and could talk. That was good. Gingerly tipping my head back against the wall, I swallowed hard. I'm Josie. You? A few moments passed.
Mitchell? My name is Mitchell Cousins.
I repeated his name in my head.
Do you?
His breath hedged.
Do you know what they are? Why they have you?
Resting my arms in my lap, I focused on the shadowy outline of Mitchell. They are Titans, and they are feeding on us. He coughed out a broken, dry laugh.
So I'm not crazy, and what's been happening is really happening.
Yeah, it's really happening. You're a bound demigod, I told him. Flinching, a sharp pain stabbed the back of my head. We were looking for you guys. We knew you two had been taken.
You knew about this before they got you?
Surprise colored his tone. I found out what I was about a year ago. I wasn't sure how much I should tell or how much even sounded believable to a guy who had been in here for nearly a year. My father sent someone to protect me, but Hyperion found me. We fought him off, and we couldn't find you two. Mitchell didn't respond for a long moment.
Will someone be looking for you?
My chest ached. Yes.
Will they find us?
They will try, I said, hurting for him and the girl who hadn't moved once since I'd been here. I'd told the truth. Alex and Aiden would try to find me. So would Deacon and Luke, and if Seth knew, he'd try. I believed that, I really did, but I had no idea how they could find us. I strained to see him through the muggy darkness. Do you know who the other person is?
That's Lauren.
His voice sounded like sandpaper.
I don't know her well.
Glancing at where she lay, I didn't see a single part of her move. Do you know how long you've been here?
He shuddered. I don't know. It's been a while. She was here before me, and they...
They what? I whispered. Mitchell didn't respond right away.
The big dude. Not the one who brought you in.
Hyperion? Just saying his name made me want to vomit.
Yeah, not him. There's another. He's got a mohawk. Blue hair, I think.
Mitchell paused and seemed to rally up the strength to continue.
He comes for her. Not so much anymore, but in the beginning, it was like every time I was awake, he was in here and he'd...
Part of me didn't want to hear it, but I didn't stop him.
He'd drag her out of here, and I don't think they'd go very far. She would scream, and I could tell she'd fight him. Or she used to. I could hear the things he was doing to her.
His voice cracked, and my breath caught.
He would hurt her. He would do things to her. I could hear it. Oh, gods.
Horror robbed me of the ability to speak as my heart thundered against my chest. All those horrible things Hyperion had said to me had been repeatedly carried out on her.
I tried to stop him when he would come for her.
You got to believe me. I tried.
I believe you. Tears burned my eyes as I tried to see the girl in the shadows, lying against the wall. I believe you. When he spoke, his voice was hoarser than before.
He just feeds off her now. Does it right here, and I can't stop him.
I dragged my right leg up, bending it at the knee. I couldn't even begin to fathom what she had been going through, what he had been going through. Who comes for you?
The woman. I can't pronounce her name.
Note to editor, I think that's supposed to be the woman, so I'll do an alternate. Thank you.
The woman. I can't pronounce her name.
Maybe he was talking about the one who was with Hyperion, the one who was arguing with him. I remembered how he'd curled away from them.
Can you do something for me? He asked, and I had no idea what I could do for him. Can you see if she's still alive? She hasn't moved since they brought you in, and they haven't come for her. I can't. I don't have the strength to move.
My stomach dropped as my gaze skittered from him to the other shadowy form. I tried to speak, but my voice got lost for a moment. It took a few seconds for me to croak out a yes, and then I pushed away from the wall. It was easier to crawl over to where I saw her lying. Standing up and walking required too much effort and stress on my ribs, so I slowly made my way over to her. Dusty dirt coated my palms as I reached her still legs. A knot formed in my throat as I inched up to her waist. She was facing the wall. Hand shaking, I brushed long, clumpy strands back from her face. It was too dark to make out her features beyond the dirt covering her face. Please don't be dead. Please, please, please. A tremble coursed through my arm as I pressed my fingers against her neck. I gasped at the touch of cool skin. I moved my fingers, feeling for a pulse. I didn't feel anything. Jerking back, I tried to swallow.
Is she?
Carefully, I shifted her onto her back, or tried to. Her body was stiff, and one arm appeared stuck to the floor. Her hair fell to the side, and I saw her eyes were open, fixed and empty. I fell back and then scuttled backward, putting distance between us, between me and this poor girl. My brain couldn't even process the ramifications of what this meant for us and for the world.
Josie, Mitchell whispered.
Moving until my back was against the wall, I ignored the pain in my ribs and head. I'm sorry. She's dead.
Oh, God.
My eyes were peeled wide, staring at where she rested.
This has to be a nightmare, he cried. Oh, God, oh, fucking God, what?
Another tremble rocked me, and this time it didn't stop. I pulled up my knees and wrapped my arms around them. She was dead. That girl, that...